Blog Talk Radio.
Life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes, so write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show live podcast. It is a wonderful Wednesday evening here in Central Kentucky, where I, Stephen Zimmer, am broadcasting to you live. And joining me tonight is the one, the only, the vivacious, the loquacious, the amazing Holly Phillippe. Holly, how you doing tonight?
Yeah, I'm here.
She's getting her fire back, folks. She's getting louder. She's getting feistier. She's had those better course of antibiotics. So watch out, folks. Holly's getting back.
Oh, Lord. It's been rough.
We love her. She's been busy, though. But we're going to have a great show tonight, and we're having one of our absolute favorite people in the world as a guest for you tonight. Just an extraordinary talent and an extraordinary person, and I cannot wait to catch up to date with this guest we have shortly. So there's the teaser. But before we do that, of course, we are affiliated with the Imaginarium Convention, so we want to keep you up to date on all the latest news and developments with the convention. And as usual, when you have a week transpire between episodes, there tends to be a lot to tell you about. We stay busy. Usually there's a new announcement almost daily. So, yeah, it's quite a lot. But first of all, I'll start off by saying that the discounted hotel room block for Imaginarium is open. So yes, you can get the convention rate, go to the Imaginarium site, look under hotel, and you can get all the information with the discounted room rate link. So you can register online or reserve your room, I should say, online, or you can alternatively give them a call, and we've got the phone number, hotel address, all that good info for you there. But that block is open. That block has sold out earlier and earlier the last couple of years. So you have probably a good idea to go ahead and get your room reservation now, because we already are definitely the momentum this year, where we're at this year compared to last year, we're ahead. So it's definitely a lot going on, a lot of guests, a lot of stuff brewing. It's just absolutely fantastic. And so on that note, we've got some great spotlighted guests to tell you about, and we also have some new panelists. So first of all, I'll tell you about one that Holly and I just adore, award-winning USA Today best-selling author Hallie Bridgman will be coming as a spotlighted guest, and she has sold over 1 million books. Yes, that's right. You heard that right. Over 1 million books from her series. She does action-packed romantic suspense books and has several series. She is just amazing, and I cannot wait to have her back with us at Imaginarium next summer. So also, like I said, it's just spectacular after spectacular. We have award-winning author, editor, and publisher Barbara V. Evers coming back to Imaginarium. And she actually is a 2-time Imagine winner for Best Fantasy Novel. And she's also gotten a Pushcart Prize nomination. And she's, of course, we love talking about the fact that she is a supporter, advocate for giraffe conservation. Definitely one of the leading voices in that area. So that's a lot of fun. We love having her on the show. And yes, she's coming back next year. And to give you a trifecta today, we announced, and we'll be talking about her in a minute, so I guess I'm stuck. I have to say her name right now, but that's right. Award-winning, best-selling author Virginia Smith coming as a spotlighted guest next year, and she has written more than 50 novels. That's right, 50. Two illustrated children's books, an assortment of articles, and short stories, and she writes everything from lighthearted romance to suspense. And two of her novels have received a Holt Medallion Award of Merit. and the first book in her Goose Creek series, a very popular series, by the way, was named the Library Journal's top pick of the month. It was a finalist for the prestigious Bookseller's Best Award. So, yeah, I'm free spotlight, I guess. I mean, Hallie Bridgman, Virginia Smith, and Barbara V. Evers, just absolutely, top tier, all of them. And of course, last but not least, we get to tell you about some great panelists that we have. And we have four to announce for you tonight. And that is the amazing Kathy Jackson, Morgan Hazelwood, definitely an Imaginarium Convention favorite, Adam Sargent, a great filmmaker and screenwriter, who is participated for the first time last year. And then is coming back, and just we're really excited to have him. And Karma Haley Shoemaker, another one that Imaginarium attendees really love and will be excited to hear, or is coming back. So, yeah, we have Kathy Jackson, Morgan Hazelwood, Adam Sargent, and Karma Haley Shoemaker. So, how about that, Holly? That's just 1 week. Not bad. A lot of talent there.
I mean,
you could put on a single day event just with that group. You could literally put on a single day event just with that group right there. That's how
easy.
Good they are.
Easy.
That's the update. But yeah, tell them, Holly. I know you've been busy and you're dying to say some of the names that you were talking to right now, but we can't yet. I know, but do you have any of the updates? Or can you, or what?
Well, I do want to mention a couple things. One, I was noodling through today here. I think she is even in the chat room, Miss Sandy Linder.
yes.
She will do more than, a couple things. She always does. Sandy's great. She's a great teacher. She's a great presenter, and we all love Sandy. And I've added a workshop today that we noodled through, how to write book two without getting harassed by code enforcement, beginner to intermediate. She's going to speak about the real-world example of how to market book one while writing books two and three, all while keeping wacky neighbors from sending code enforcement to your property. It's about balance, sure, but Sandy can offer you more than platitudes because she's been in the trenches for years now, fighting some crazy neighbors. You can juggle a full-time job, marketing, writing, housekeeping, and sleep. Join this workshop for insight on writing the second book in a trilogy versus a series versus multiple standalones, applying your why to how you approach book two, the planning behind rapid release, stellar time management tips, tools, and cheats, and a synopsis of an incredible story bible. Your key takeaways from this workshop, number one being time management tricks and cheats. Two, how your why guides your how. Three, ways to ward off the neighbors. Four, strategies to stay sane while writing books two, three, and four. That's one that's going to be stellar, and if it's a new addition. I also want to mention Mrs. Haley Bridgman, who we just announced, will be doing a workshop called Authors Selling Direct. She's going to go over how author can sell ebooks, paperbacks, and even audiobooks direct, and why an author should. The workshop outline will discuss what does selling direct mean, what are the benefits of selling direct, what are the disadvantages, what are the tools needed for selling direct, what is this going to cost me, how do I make selling direct worth it for me, and let's look at some author shops and different platforms. So those are two that I have just added that are brand new, they're fresh, and I know people are going to love them.
Yeah, we're going to start getting some of the workshops at least up on the site very shortly.
Yes,
and we've gotten bombarded with people asking about when the Imagine Award nominations for next year open up.
Yeah,
we have a goal the first week of November. So if all goes well, we will have those nominations open on the first week of November for everybody.
And
so
remember, they have to be a published work, published from January 1st of this year through December 31st.
Right.
So that
some
means
books
they
still
have to be published by then. You can't publish them January 1st of 2024 and enter them. that will be
right.
disqualified. I will not accept them. They have
yep,
to be done by December 31st.
Yep, and we always have to disqualify, unfortunately, a few every year because of that. That is checked very carefully. And the other thing is that, hey, if you got a book that comes out on December 31st of this year, yeah, that qualifies. So, yeah, anything
yep.
up until midnight on the 31st, you're good.
And I know some people get confused. If you've had a book out for, like, I don't know, a couple years now, right, but you just published the audiobook version this year, then you can enter it in the audiobook.
Correct.
Class.
Mm. The audiobook
that,
division.
That's totally different. That's
category.
A different, you know, yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. And so, yes, and chat room is open, everybody. It is working. So just refresh your page if you have any trouble logging in. I'll say shout out to Carol Preflatish, Moon, Duan L. Hearn, and, of course, the amazing Sandy Lender, the genre blender, who we're going to mention yet again here because now we're going to recognize the folks that brought you tonight's show. And bring you tonight's show is the 1-2 punch of Sandy Lender and Ren Garcia. So for tonight, we're going to go ahead and give you something from Sandy with her latest spot, and we definitely tell you to listen well because this spot will give you the guidance to make good choices. So here you go.
Do you want nightmares for the Halloween season? I got you, boo. Let the demons, poisonous Adras, monstrous Rifel, evil sorcerers, wicked dragons, and all manner of unsettling characters of the Choices series haunt you this October. But don't worry too much. The amazing Amanda Charisse is learning all she can to protect you from what lands on her balcony at night. Get your copy of Choices Meant for Gods from author Sandy Lender, available now everywhere fine books are sold.
Thank you, Sandy Lender. You're awesome. And folks, make good choices in your book buying and pick up some of Sandy's books. So here we go, over to Ren, and of course the great question at the end. And he's also got a fantastic series. I highly recommend League of Elder series. Here's a bit about it.
The League of Elder dares to be unusual. It's easy to be swept away in this bold and uninhibited landscape where fantastic heroes become old friends and sinister villains inhabit every dark corner. Dare to explore things best left alone. Each book is your lantern, lighting the path to a world never before seen. So what do you say? Are you weird enough for us?
Yes, Ren Garcia.
Yes,
we are weird
Ren.
Enough for you.
We are weird enough for you.
And hurry up and get set with us for next convention. So,
because
I know you're
Ren.
Wanting to come. I know you are. You've indicated to me you're wanting to come next year, so... So yes, folks, nudge him, pressure him. we need Ren back because he would have such a blast with the current group that we've got at Imaginarium and all. He'd just have such a good time. But yes, definitely, Holly. It's we're checking. I'm just laughing a little bit as I'm looking at the chat room and watching some of the comments from Moon. They give me a little bit of a chuckle here. We're all a little mad here, all kind of weird. That's right. Oh, man. That's what being a creative is all about, right, Holly?
That's true.
Yeah,
he says, just a little. I'm like, well, you know, a bit more than a little. I was being kind.
Yeah. Yeah, but in a good, healthy, constructive way, I should say. That's, we're not the dangerous, bad,
creative,
kind of weird or yeah.
We're not considered
we're
the norm because we think outside
right.
of the box.
Yeah, you have to. That's just the way we roll, yep. and that's the way good art is created. So, on that note, I'm going to bring you somebody that's an absolute master of their craft, and that is tonight's guest, who is on deck as we speak in the VIP lounge, in the green room, where we spare no expense at the Star Chamber show. And so tonight, I am proud to bring back on the show an Imaginarium favorite, a Star Chamber show favorite, who is an award-winning best-selling author. And she is the author of more than 50 novels, two illustrated children's books, and in a large assortment of articles and short stories. She's won Imagine Awards. Two of her novels have received a Holt Medallion Award of Merit, and the first book in her Goose Creek series was named Library Journal's Top Pick of the Month. And she is also the spearhead of the great Conference of Writers for the Bluegrass Writers Coalition. And, of course, now you know who I'm talking about. It's the one, the only, and freshly back from Ireland, Virginia Smith. Virginia, welcome to the show.
Thank you. My goodness, I didn't recognize myself there for a minute.
I told you it'd be fancy. We strive to give fancy introductions.
You did.
But I mean, nothing I said, there were no lies. all that was fact. You are back
well,
from
thank
Ireland.
Thank you. Yes.
That even was true.
That was true. Yes, it was a fabulous trip. Too. It was amazing.
Oh, it looked amazing.
Oh.
I can't wait to hear all the stories. We got to get together soon. And I've got to hear the stories.
And we do want some of them tonight. I mean, definitely want to talk to you about your writing. Definitely want to talk to you about the Conference of Writers and awesome new contest that you have brewing. But also we want to get up to speed on your trip because, I mean, not everybody goes to Ireland every day, and we certainly were following the photos, and they were great. I mean, you looked like you had a historical adventure, a cultural adventure. I mean, you were hitting everything over there. I mean, it was wow. I mean, so yeah, give us a little overview because that's fun.
It really was an amazing trip. Okay, so the thing is, several years ago, I got a contract to write three cozy mysteries that are set in Ireland in a little fictitious town near Blarney Castle. So this was right at the beginning of 2020. So naturally, I was thrilled and signed the contract and then started making plans to go to Ireland, and we all know what happened. The borders closed. So I could not go to Ireland in 2020. So I had to rely on internet research, and I made contact with people who live in Ireland. And, you know, I'm one of those research fanatics. So if I'm going to write a book, I do tons of research because I think that just makes a book richer. So I was not able to go before I wrote the books. And then last year, I had a tour planned. My husband and I were going to go to Ireland because here's the thing, guys. The first book in the series comes out August of 2024. So if I can go this year, it's tax deductible. I mean,
I just put that in chat. I was like, tax deductions are great.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, so even though the books are already written, it still, I had, as you could see, tons of pictures, which I totally intend to use as marketing and promotion. And it was just really cool. So last year, my husband got sick right before we were supposed to go, and we had to cancel that trip. And as you guys know, he passed away a few months ago. And after his celebration of life, my daughter said, Mom, you ought to go on that trip. And I said, oh, I'm sure, you know, because the tour group does one every year. And I said, oh, I'm sure it's too late, you know, because it was end of July and they went in September. And she said, yeah, you ought to check into it. And so I did, and there was one seat left. And I went, oh, okay, this is my trip.
Wow, that was
obviously
meant to be.
Yeah, wow. So that's how it came about. And It was just an amazing trip. It really was. I got to tell you, the tour group, they had a tour planned all out, and they treated us like royalty. You may even be familiar with the lady that runs it every year. She owns an Irish gift shop in Lexington, Kentucky, called Falk.
Oh my!
Which is
yes.
Which is
I know that
Gaelic for for welcome.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so Lisa Best is her name. So Lisa leads this tour every year, and they go different places. And they had gone to Blarney last year, and so I didn't get to go to Blarney. And they try not to go to the same place over and over because some people do come on the tour every year, but they made a special trip they made a special trip and the whole place went to Blarney in one afternoon. And so it was, it was the coolest thing because, you know, I've written these books and a lot of the critical scenes take place in Blarney Castle and around the grounds of Blarney Castle. Blarney Castle has a poison garden, which is, I mean, all the plants in it are poisonous. Some of them are so poisonous that they put them in cages. I know. You can imagine that does play a big part in the first book in the series.
Yes,
so as I'm walking around the gardens of Blarney Castle, it was like a deja vu kind of thing. It was exactly as I had described it. I kept saying, oh, my gosh, this looks just like what I said in my book. It was really awesome. Absolutely loved it.
So cool. Did you lean out and do the kiss of the stone where they hold you up?
Heck no.
They still do that?
I'm not doing that. No. Well, yeah, they do. And I got pictures from the ground looking straight up. I'm telling you, they literally tell you to empty your pocket. Because you're hanging upside down and they're holding on to your ankles.
That's
true.
Oh,
come on. It's the Blarney Stone.
That's
going to happen.
It scared
the
heck out of me when I went.
That millions of pairs of lips have been brushed across. And, oh, my gosh, that's just nasty.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Nature takes care of it.
I stood down below and looked up. And went, oh, my gosh, there is no way in the world I'm doing that. But you know what? My character in my book didn't do it either. So,
I'd be the crazy one doing
it.
The
victim did, and there is some, you know, some suggestion that, good heavens, maybe he got some nasty disease from kissing the Blarney Stone. I'm teasing.
Oh, that's what
you didn't know. I'm not a fan of heights, and I had the same exact reaction as you when I went with my mother and sister on our trip to Ireland.
Yeah?
But my sister and mom taught me into just going with the flow, and so, yeah, I ended up terrifying myself by hanging off the edge here.
I'm impressed.
It about gave me a heart attack, though. It was you're literally over that edge, yeah. That tower.
Well,
I was like, oh man.
You know, and the thing is, I don't have a fear of heights. That really wouldn't have bothered me. The big, stopping point actually was the line went all the way down these winding stairs and all the way through the castle, and we only had a few hours. And I wanted to get pictures of every single part of the gardens that I could. So there was no way I was going to wait in that line to go up there and hang upside down. And yes, I'm blind.
Right.
Forget it.
I'm showing my grandson pictures right now, so he gets the idea of how high up this thing is. He's sitting in there with me. Bentley,
it's high up.
And he's like, what?
I know, yeah. So I'm sure he doesn't blame me for not doing that. And he probably thinks Steven is Superman for doing it.
No, I don't blame you at all, and I wouldn't do it again. I'll say that.
I would do it.
That was about too much
for
me. I do not like heights. Yeah.
There's one place. I mean, the gardens at Blarney Castle are really extensive, and they're beautiful. But there's some mystic places in there. It's really cool. There's a place called the Druid's Cave, which really historically, an old druid lived there, and the people from the castle would, you know, leave food for him, and people would come to him, and he, you know, had herbs and stuff for healing. And so that actually plays a part in the third book in my series. And I walked into the Druid's Cave and went, oh my gosh, this is, I feel it. This is what I described. I just loved it. It was the whole thing.
Max,
just amazing.
Max is barking about something.
I know.
I hear
sorry,
Max
I'm
wants
so...
to be on the show. Max wants to,
he's
wants to be on the show,
up.
I think.
I'm going to lock Max in the basement if he keeps it up.
No,
I'm
it's
so
okay.
Sorry.
No. Max is an adorable little guy. Yeah,
he's a monster. He's a barky little monster, and the whole neighborhood knows it, but... But
oh, he's
you were
he's
talking
so lovable.
About the druid cave, and yeah, see,
yes.
Max all stirred up them druids.
Yeah, that's what it was. Gosh, there's also, I mean, there's a set of standing stones called the Seven Sisters, and there's seven upright stones.
Ooh.
And then there's two stones that are laying over on it on their sides. And the sign says that, yeah, it's the Seven Sisters and those two are the brothers, which I got a kick out of.
Like,
yeah,
of course.
Brothers are the ones
laying
down,
right?
Rear ends. You know, and then there's the wishing steps. Did you do that, Stephen?
No,
you, like,
I don't remember doing that.
It's like a tunnel, and there's a steep set of stairs that goes down through this tunnel, and at the bottom of the tunnel there's this absolutely gorgeous waterfall. And the theory goes, if you walk down the stairs and then back up the stairs with your eyes closed, focusing on a wish that when you get to the top, your wish will come true within a year. Okay, so which sounds really cool until you get there and realize how steep those stairs are. It's like, there's no way. I mean, I was almost afraid to go down them with my eyes open, much less with my eyes closed. But
right.
It was just, the whole thing was just gorgeous. It was gorgeous, and it was like every time I turned around, I was seeing scenes from my books just alive, alive in front of me.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Now I cannot wait for those books to come out, you know?
Oh,
or
yeah. I mean, yeah, that's such a vibe and atmosphere, especially when you're in the rural parts of Ireland. I mean, it's just amazing, the kind of spirit that you pick up there.
Oh, thank you.
And,
you know, we have nothing else like that here, you know.
We're talking
Native American grounds, but, you know, this is ancient.
Yeah, Holly, you know, it's so amazing to walk by, like, stone structures and put your hand on them and realize they're older than our entire country. You know, I mean, it's just these things are there. I mean,
way older.
B.C., prehistoric.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and we visited, oh my gosh, what was the, I should have reviewed before this, but we visited two ancient burial mounds that were, I mean, it was like eerie. They were so cool, and they've been in place for, they're the Paleolithic era, and the rock art.
Wow.
I think the guide told us that there were two different sites that we visited that were right there together, and the guide told us that between those two sites, they have 60% of the Paleolithic rock art in the entire world. I mean, it was just, they're just now in the past few years starting to do DNA on the remains that they found there. And the cool thing is that there's burial sites that are, I mean, miles and miles and miles apart. And we're talking ancient times. You know, these are you know, hunter-gatherer people.
Yeah, they were walking.
And,
yeah,
and the DNA matches. It's like there was one, just king ruling class, but almost godlike. You know, people that were considered gods and goddesses, and they were all related, even though they were miles and miles apart.
Yep.
I mean,
oh, yes.
Yeah,
you look
well
at,
before,
I mean, doesn't that make
before
you,
Christ
doesn't
or
make
anything.
You want to write books? It makes me want to write books. It does. I mean, really.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Yeah, and you stand there and look at them and think, my gosh, this has been here forever, you know? A lot of magic. You know, there's one tour that if this tour group ever does it, I will be there in a heartbeat because I researched it. It's called A Tour of the Thin Places of Ireland. Have you heard of the Thin Places?
Thin Places, like for other world and so forth, like passages to other world?
Yes, there are multiple places around Ireland and Scotland, and many of them are standing stone areas where the legend goes that the veil between heaven and earth is thinner there than anyone else, and you really can feel the presence of the afterlife, of heaven. And, you know, I mean, I'm not really into all of that stuff, but this is kind of funny. In the second book in my series, I actually talk about the thin places, and there really is a geologic explanation for the feeling that you get. It's a real feeling, but it has to do with the limestone and the formation of the stones, which I just think is still just absolutely amazing that people thousands and thousands of years ago knew that and could generate that kind of feeling.
Well, they had no way of explaining it scientifically. So to them, it was just, you know, their deity magic, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Of course, you know, in my book, it's this kind of a nerd guy. Everybody's standing there around, you know, standing stones, and they're feeling it, and everybody's excited. And then he comes out in this voice and says, well, there's a scientific explanation for that, and they all hate him. But I'll tell you what, there are tours of the thin places of Ireland, and if I ever find one, I will go on that in a heartbeat because that just fascinates me.
That.
It really does.
Yeah. I would love that.
No, that's interesting stuff. Yeah. Yeah. All the lore of Otherworld and the Fae and, you know, and all the things.
I mean, it's
a perfect month. Halloween's a perfect month to be talking about this because that's what ties into the roots of Halloween, you know, is the Otherworld lore and things like that. Yeah. So it's a perfect.
And, you know, a lot of the Irish people, I mean, even today, really, I mean, they believe in fairies. They believe that the fairies, you know, exist in the woods and they play tricks on
people. Still believe in fairies.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so,
and like I said,
actually,
I don't disbelieve until it's proven that there isn't. I don't disbelieve all these people are seeing something.
There is in the first book of my series, I have a one character who is absolutely convinced that the fairies play tricks on her, and she's a fun character to write. It was just it was a lot of fun. I'll tell you, I cannot wait for that. But those books were supposed to be out starting January of this year, and they got delayed until August of next year, which I was really disappointed. On the other hand, I got to go to Ireland, and it's tax deductible. So there you go.
Yes.
There you go. Win-win.
Win-win.
Win-win, yes.
Now, did you enjoy the Irish cuisine or the pubs and the things like that? Because I loved the food when I was over there. It was so delightful.
Oh, my gosh. It was so good. And, of course, you know, this tour, you stay in some really nice places, and we ate in some really nice places. So I'm sure that a lot of what we had was fancier than typical, you know, Irish pub food. But I got to tell you, I was absolutely determined I was going to have traditional Irish stew. And everywhere we went, I could not find Irish stew on the menu because we were staying in these hotels and going to these fancy restaurants that have all this fancy stuff. And I'm like, no, I really just want Irish stew. I really do. Well, we were in, oh, my gosh, I can't remember the name of the town. I'll think of it in a minute. Anyway, they had an English market in the town. And so we went through this English market, and it was like a big – well, it wasn't open air. It was, you know, enclosed. But they had, like, one area that was a fish market, and they had all this fresh fish, and they were chopping fish. And they had people that were, you know, selling baked goods. And, I mean, just everything you could think of, just aisle after aisle after aisle. And I finally found this little – they had, like, three tables, this little lunch place, and they had traditional Irish stew. And so I sat down – and I ordered traditional Irish stew. And I got traditional Irish stew in the English market served by a French waitress.
I was going to say, I have a lot of Irish blood. I will make you some. I will do research. And I will make you some traditional Irish stew.
It was so good. It really was. But, you know, I have Irish blood too, Holly. Yeah. We might be related way back.
Mine are the McAvoys. I still have cousins over there that own this big sawmill. They're called the McAvoys.
Okay. Well, my maiden name is Patrick, and so I had one of my father's cousins has traced our ancestry all the way back through. Actually, it's Northern Ireland that our people were from, but before that, they came from Scotland, and they were Scotch-Irish.
Yeah.
And so this guy,
mine
I'm
were
not,
too.
You know, my Yeah, and I met with my dad's cousin, and he said, okay, so I've traced it all the way back to 1400s. I can't remember what it was. He said, to a man who was a priest, and that's our ancestor. And I said, Bobby, priests didn't have kids. He said, well, this one did.
Yeah,
there you go. That's my ancestor, right?
Nice. Nice.
Things have changed.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, my grandmother.
Honestly, guys.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother, her parents were McAvoys. They were from Ireland. My great grandparents are from there. And I haven't done all the way back, but I know what I have done. Yeah, we originated from Scotland. So, then they migrated. Yep, to Ireland.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is there, but that's
I don't
way
either,
it
but
usually happens.
Apparently a lot of people did, and you know, it probably I don't know if it has something to do with the, you know, with, well, what was it in, it was in the 1500s when James the First of England, but he was James something or other. He was Henry the Eighth's nephew, I think, or maybe and he succeeded Elizabeth from the English throne.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, then there were some problems. I don't know, maybe Scotland kind of, maybe some, a lot of people migrated south to Ireland at that point. I don't know. Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it would be interesting to find out. I'll tell you the other thing that totally, go ahead.
I was going to say, there are clans that hop back and forth. Absolutely. Yeah, between Scotland and Ireland.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. We were, we've traced my from my mother's side of the family, the Scottish name was Wiley. And I was there with my mom in, gosh, it was 1999. It was a long time ago. And we hooked up with a Scottish lady, and she drove us around, and we actually found the current laird of the Wiley clan. So our, you know, whoever knows how many, you know, times and the relation, and he was in the Wiley house, and it was so cool because it was a thatched roof house. Just, you know, you think of the laird living in a castle. No, it was a thatched roof cottage, and it was a big cottage, but it had, like, I think it was 13 something carved over the lintel. Over the front door. I mean, it was really amazing. And my mother could not understand a word this man said. He spoke English, but it was such a thick accent. She would be like, what? What did he say? But it was fun. That's fun.
Oh, that just sounds amazing.
Yeah.
But
it was a fabulous trip. So who knows? Maybe more books will come out of it. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, did you hit, I can't remember, because we were looking at so many of your pictures and everything, but did you get around the Ring of Kerry, that area?
No, we really didn't. No, I was disappointed in that. Well, you know, the thing is, we didn't go to the Cliffs of Moher.
There's so much.
I know.
Yeah.
We didn't go to the Cliffs of Moher either, because they had done that the previous year, and, you know, she tries to establish, you know, go different places for their tours, but we did go up to a different cliff that is supposedly the highest cliff in Europe, but it was typical Irish weather that day, and we were standing up on this cliff looking over, and the clouds were down. You couldn't see the top of the cliff, and it was raining and blowing in my face, and I'm telling you, it's like, jump out of the bus, snap a few pictures, and then get back in the bus, and no, let's go find a pub and get a Smittix, you know. No, that's too cold. So, but oh gosh, we saw so many beautiful places, so many historic places, and I it's really interesting. I found myself fascinated by the graveyards, because there are graveyards. Every graveyard that we saw, first of all, they don't have just little tombstones like we have here. They have gigantic, elaborate Celtic crosses. And you have these gravestones that are, you know, hundreds of years old, and two rows over you have somebody that passed away last year. So they're still in use. It really stunned me. It really it kind of fascinated me, because it wasn't just one. It was every one we saw, you know? So I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different world, a different culture, a different climate from us. And gosh, that just makes me want to write books. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Now, did some of your traveling companions discover that you were an author while you were over there, or did you keep that kind of down low? Or
No, they did after I was, you know, after a couple of days, they did. Yeah. But, you know, I was just, good heavens, I was there with a horse breeder, a thoroughbred breeder. Yeah. She was like, oh,
nice.
That's pretty cool. You write books, but, you know, I'm like, honey, I can't compare to you. She was just great. And I don't know, just people from every walk of life. And it's really funny because, you know, as I mentioned, my husband died recently. And so I was really nervous to go on a trip, you know, with a bunch of people I don't know. But it turned out to be the best thing in the world because I developed relationships. There were 21 people on this tour, and we were treated like royalty, and we were in a bus everywhere we went, and then we would stop and, you know, stay. And gosh, I developed some friendships that I really think are going to be lifelong friendships. So,
Oh yeah,
I loved it.
Yeah, you guys experienced, you know, incredible things together. That's pretty neat.
Exactly. We were there for the Dingle Food Festival, which is an annual event that was awesome. I just loved it. You know, it was just, gosh, you ate until you couldn't eat anymore and drank. And,
oh, man.
You know, it was great.
Man.
It was fabulous. Yeah. And Dingle
That's
is right
perfect,
on the,
perfect
you know,
time for me.
It's on the, yes, right on the, you know, coast. There's a pier there. And, you know, it was great. I loved it. So,
I can see
going back and maybe staying a while, just, you know, for research purposes, right? Yeah.
Exactly. and more tax write-offs for sure. There you go.
Yeah.
We can manage
sell another
hand.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, wow. So
but
yeah.
But now guess, back to reality.
Back to reality. Well, I mean, it's never a dull moment with you, though. I mean, never a dull moment because you're off to World Fantasy Con next week, I believe. So
I leave Wednesday for World Fantasy. This year it's in Kansas City. And, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. I don't know if y'all are aware of this. I've never been to a World Con because I love World Fantasy, but I love the professionalism of World Fantasy. But WorldCon is going on this week in China. So there are going to be people coming direct from China to Kansas City to go to World Fantasy. So that's going to be interesting. I love World
Fantasy.
Yeah,
that's
Fantasy. World Fantasy is it's a unique organization. It really has its own little niche in, you know, the convention circuit among science fiction and fantasy fans. And I love it.
Yeah. It's going to be a fantastic event. I'm absolutely positive, but yeah, that's going to be something for those folks coming up from China.
I can't even imagine the hotel coordinator for this year's World Fantasy is going to be coming in from China. And she's already told people, I don't know what kind of shape I'll be in for the first day or two, to be honest.
Yeah,
I mean, jet lag is a real thing, you know?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, even on shorter trips. Yeah. So I can't imagine with that, especially with conventions, because as you know, you have to have be on all the time. I mean, you have to be on. So that's always a bit
amazing.
Of fun challenge.
Yeah. You really do. You are on all the time. But I don't know, there's an excitement that kind of gives you energy until you come home and then you crash for a week or so.
Yes.
Yeah.
We know about that.
Yeah, I know you do. Oh, gosh, I can't. Imaginarium World Fantasy is like a tiny little segment of what you guys do with the Imaginarium, which is just so exciting and so amazing. I love it. I bet you crash after that.
Yes. You better believe
and
it. And then I start right on next year.
Yeah, we're crazy enough to start right away. You know all about conventions, not just that. But we love your spring event, of course, the Conference of Writers for the Bluegrass Writers Coalition. We've talked about that with you. We've talked about that pretty much everybody we meet. I mean, because it's one of those things I always tell people. It's not one you should miss at all. Alerted me that you all have a the group that puts it on, Bluegrass Writers Coalition, has a new short story contest, which sounds amazing. So I wanted to ask you about Kentucky Visions.
Yeah, Kentucky Visions Short Story Contest. We just launched it earlier this week. We've been working on it for months. And, you know, Bluegrass Writers Coalition is basically, we're a fellowship group. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization, but our goal is to promote Kentucky literature to Kentucky readers. I mean, we give opportunities to Kentucky writers. So, you know, we try to, for instance, we're doing two farmers market events here in Frankfort where our members have an opportunity to participate. And we're doing a festival of books on November 9th, which is in conjunction with Frankfort's big Christmas candlelight procession. But the Kentucky Visions short story contest is something we've been working on for months, and we really, really want to provide an opportunity for new writers, especially, or even, you know, experienced writers, but this contest is for unpublished short fiction. And I mean, we're really kind of excited because the first prize is $500. And the second is $250,
nice.
And the third is $100. So, you know, it's not chump change. It's something that we hope will become an annual tradition. We have five multi-published authors who will act as judges, and it's really going to be, I think, a lot of fun. We just launched it on Monday, and the deadline for entries is January 31st.
So the judges will scramble.
So it gives people time to work on their stories and to edit them and perfect them and send in their best work. And then we plan to announce the finalists will be published in an anthology that we will put together. And the first prize winner will actually be published in the Trajectory magazine, which is a twice annual literary magazine that is published it'll be pretty cool, I think. So yeah, we're really excited about this contest because we think it's an opportunity for people of all ages who are writers, and you have to have a Kentucky connection. So either you're a Kentucky resident, or you were born in Kentucky and you live somewhere else now, or even you might live in Seattle, Washington, but your story is set in Kentucky. So there's got to be some Kentucky connection, and then we're going to see what we get. We're really, really hoping we get a lot of entries and a lot of interest because we'd like to make this an annual event.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
And I mean, I already know that the high quality of what you put on in the Bluegrass Writers Coalition is phenomenal, and the events you do are phenomenal. And so, I mean, yeah, this is going to be something that's going to be people are going to be very proud to be a part of, and hopefully make the cut and get in there.
Thank you. I'm really excited about it. I really am. I think it's going to be really good for Kentucky writers, and I think it's going to provide an opportunity for new writers to maybe, you know, stretch their wings a little and take a chance and get something out there. So, yeah, you never know.
Yeah, and I know, you're definitely so friendly to all types of writers because, I mean, I, as a wild speculative fiction author, felt just as comfortable as, say all your poet laureates there, like, you know, Frank X. Walker and all the others that you have there. But you bring together under a roof, I mean, all types of writers in a welcoming way. And so that's nice. It's definitely I look forward to that.
Seeing
about that contest and see who gets in and who gets the prizes. It'll be fun to watch, but we'll definitely put out some info on that.
Thank you. Well, the conference this past year was a lot of fun. You taught writing science fiction. Yes, you did. You taught a workshop that was great, very well received. And like you said, we had Frank X, who was, he blew me away. People absolutely loved his presentation. That was amazing.
That's one of Holly's highlights.
The year before that, we had Crystal Wilkinson, who at that point was the current Kentucky Poet Laureate. So, we try to do everything. We try to have something for everybody, whether it's poetry or fiction or speculative fiction or creative nonfiction or whatever. This year, next year, I guess, the conference is going to be April 27th. And So far we have a few confirmed writers. I haven't published them yet, but we have a lady named Allie Plyter who has over 60 books published, and she's going to teach a session that she has taught to on a national level called Finish That Story with the Chunky Method. So it's a writing style workshop that she calls the Chunky Method, which I've taken it. I love it. So, and basically the premise is we all have chunks of writing time. Some of us have little 15-minute chunks, and some of us have 4-hour chunks. And how do you discover your own chunk of writing ability and then capitalize on that to finish your book? And so she's really good. So she's going to be there, and we have a guy named Paul Stansberry who has taught multiple workshops. He's going to do something on short fiction, and I'm excited about that. Anne Gabbert, who is a best-selling Christian fiction author, is going to do a workshop on characterization. So I'm super excited about that one. And then I've got feelers out to several others. I was kind of disappointed because I invited Ada Limon, who is the national U.S. Poet Laureate, and she was so sweet and so nice, and I actually met with her. She did an event at the library in Frankfurt, but April is National Poetry Month, and so her schedule was booked up way over, and she was so sweet and said, I would love to do it, but I just can't, you know, that month. I'm already booked up that weekend, so I don't know, but we're definitely approaching a lot of people that we think are going to bring a really good variety of learning, you know, opportunities for Kentucky writers. So it'll be fun. It'll be a fun event.
April 27th,
and
folks, just
great.
Got the scoop. Oh, yes, it is. I can vouch.
It is.
I was impressive. Yeah. that meal that they have at the venue you have is
–
venue
meal
is super,
wonderful.
Too. Meal is super. The venue is super.
I always learn things. Always do.
Well,
yeah
that's great. I mean, it's not the Imaginarium. You guys are just, you guys are like conventions on, or conferences on steroids. And I love the Imaginarium because, gosh, there's something all the time going on. And this is a little one-day event. But we're trying really, really hard to make it a premier writer's event in Kentucky.
And we can enjoy it.
Is.
We don't get to, you know, we don't get to go to the panel workshops like I would want to at Imaginarium. My God, I'd want to go to all of them, you know.
Exactly.
But I don't get that privilege, obviously. So, you know, it's yours. Yes, I mean, you know, with the Bluegrass Writers Corps, I sit there and soak it all up. I learned so much.
And
it's just amazing.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, because Stephen Vest, Holly loved his workshop. He participated in Stephen Vest's workshop, and I sat in on half of it, and he was fabulous. Fabulous presenter. And then Frank X. Walker, I know that was one of the highlights of Holly, my weekend, Holly's weekend. And
well,
we did get to meet him.
You know, because I just have to brag that Frank X. and I graduated from the same high school, Danville High School. He was a year behind me. He was
that
a year
so
between
cool.
my sister and I, but I totally brag about that.
Jenny, I'm just putting it out here. I'm going to get a hold of you then because I'm getting ready to contact him. We need to get his little hiney to Imaginarium.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. God, it'd be amazing. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, he's such a talent. And speaking of Crystal Wilkinson, Holly and I love Holly. Of course, you know she loves foodie shows. So we were watching this awesome like food series, and Holly can probably remember the name of it. But Crystal Wilkinson was in the episode. They did a Kentucky episode where the host went to Kentucky and was looking at soul food. Yeah,
no
something like
way.
That.
I did not know that. That is really awesome. That is really awesome.
In Kentucky.
Crystal Wilkinson. We've met her.
Exactly. We know you.
As a matter of fact, I won her book. I won one of the giveaways in the first writers conference, that you had,
and
the first one, and one of Crystal's books. Yeah, I've got one from that. But yeah, she was awesome. But yeah, but we about fell over when we were watching the show, and they were like, oh, here's Crystal Wilkinson, and I was like, oh my God, yes, that's great.
I love that. We know her. That's great. Yeah.
That's too cool. Too cool. That's where it's a small world, you know, where our book world and Holly's foodie world come together in one thing. It's like
that is amazing.
It really is.
Holly, we need to get together and talk foodie stuff. I mean, you know, you've come over and we've had dinner together and shared a couple of bottles of wine or something, but we got a lot more to talk about, you know?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
Yep,
I still remember that dinner. It was so good. It was such a good dinner.
We had a charcuterie. You made a great charcuterie board, which, you know, I call tiki board. We actually had charcuterie tonight for dinner. The grandkids, the oldest grandkids, you know, live with us now. And they never had an all-out one. So I did, you know, like three different salamis, pepperoni. We did herb and flavored goat cheese.
All kinds of stuff.
And then I did a balsamic garlic onion jam. We had pesto.
Oh,
yum.
So good.
It really does.
And all of
But I thought it was ironic. I thought it was ironic, though, Jenny, that we had a charcuterie board dinner on the night that, you know, the day we announced you for veterinary, and the night we're doing an interview with you, and that's the last visit we had with you was we had a charcuterie board. So it must be a Jenny Smith tradition,
It must be a thing. It must be. You know, the fun thing about charcuterie is the coochie boards are, arranging it. You can get so creative, and I am – Trust me, I'm not a creative person, a physically creative person. All my creativity pretty much goes to writing. But when you're arranging food, I don't know, there's something different about that. I can get into that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
Absolutely.
And there's so many different combinations you can come up with. You just throw all kinds of cool things on there and just let everybody – that's what I tell the kids. I said, just try this, try that. You know, I said mix and match your meats. We did prosciutto. That was on it. They never had prosciutto, you know. And I said, melt to the mouth. It's great, you know. And, it was just – they loved it. And salad. We had a side salad. They loved it.
Okay, so the only complaint I had about the one that I did with you guys is I had chocolates on there, and you all didn't eat them. And I devoured every one of them the next day. All by myself.
We were going to eat the meat and cheese, man, because we love cookie boards.
Uh-huh.
And so we were eating the meat and cheese. I didn't even think about the chocolate. And then when you took it away, we ate the whole board and never ate dinner.
Well,
you know, we were all sitting there just devouring the board.
Every time the board was spinning, I was quietly snagging olives because you know me. The olives they were getting
me too.
Hit every time, but we'll definitely have to do that again. But how is writing going right now, Jenny? Tell us how is because you did mention about the books coming out next year, but you had some come
next
out.
Year.
Something you had some stuff coming out recently over the last few months. You've had some stuff that's come out. And,
I had a book that came out in August, which was my 50th published novel, and it was biblical fiction that was published by Guidepost Books, you know, a Christian publisher, and it was on Deborah, the prophet Deborah from the book of Judges.
Yes.
And gosh, it was, I got to tell you, as I said before, I am a research fanatic. When I get an idea for a book, I research everything. If possible, I go there. I could not go to, you know, over there. So, but you know what? Google Earth is pretty cool. And I could look at what Mount Tabor looks like, which is where the big battle took place, you know, in the story of Deborah. And, oh my gosh, it was just, the book, the story really came alive to me. And, yeah, I'm pretty proud of that book. That's really, really a cool book. And I'm proud of it. It's my third biblical fiction with guideposts. Mm-hmm. And then I have, like I said, the three Irish mysteries that come out starting next year. And then I have one other cozy mystery that is coming out. And this one is it's from Annie's Publishing, Annie's Fiction, which is a direct-to-consumer book club publisher. And this one is set on a hobby farm in Oregon. And it's really fun. They asked me to write the first book in the series, and then they had hired me for a couple others in the series, but also other authors. So I'm not sure when that's coming out. It'll be sometime next year. But then, you know, as I said, my husband died a few months ago, and honestly, I have had, it's funny, I used to say I don't believe in writer's block. Let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. I believe in writer's block because I think I have grief brain, but yeah. I will just tell you, on Thursday, this past Thursday, I had a meeting with my agent, and I said, you know, I'm just not sure I'm going to write anymore. This is even after Ireland, but you know, it's like I'm having trouble focusing even on reading at this point. And of course, you know, she and everybody else says it's only been 3 months, and you know, naturally that's, you know, so just take it easy. You're not, I actually had given up a contract a few months before Ted died because I knew that, you know, something was coming. And so anyway, I have 54 novels that will be published, you know, starting next year. 54 that are written. Uh-huh. And part of me kept thinking, one more, that's a really good number. Uh-huh. You know, the double nickel number. But anyway, uh-huh. So I had told her, yeah, I think I'm gonna, I just want to be inactive. I just want to, you know, uh-huh. I don't want any pressure, and I'll be honest, I'm not sure that I will ever write again. Well, famous last words today. I got an email from my guidepost editor offering me a contract. I mean, nothing is signed or anything, and I don't want to say too much about it because nothing is signed, but it's set in Kentucky. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Are you kidding me? I'm a Kentucky
nice.
Girl, born and bred. I read that and went, what? Are you kidding? I mean, I just said, no, I don't think I'll write anymore, and I'm reading this. And it's like a mystery set in small town Kentucky. And you guys, how can I say no to that? How can I say no
right.
to that? No.
Well,
so,
see,
yeah,
it was meant to
know,
be.
It may be meant to be. And the good thing is, you know, the deadline is not till next summer. So that gives me time.
Oh, then, yeah,
and
plenty of time.
To work through it. And guess what? This would be number 55. So, hey, there you go. So,
nothing,
you know,
right.
Maybe the yeah. writing career is not over yet. maybe there's still a book in me or so. So we'll see. But, you know, it's funny because just when you make up your mind, fate has a way of kind of twisting and throwing a monkey wrench into what, you know, humans decide they want to do, right?
That's true.
Exactly.
That's true.
Well, I was going to say, Jenny, my situation was different, you know, when I lost my mother back in 2013. Mm-hmm. And uh-huh. honestly, I was in the same exact, you just described the same exact fog that I was in the aftermath.
Yeah.
I didn't
yeah.
want to have an interest in reading. I didn't have an interest in writing. And lo and behold, I mean, it took something different or new to snap me out of it. And that was, you know, one day I the Raiden Valkyrie character, I, you know, kind of popped in my head and
yeah.
all of a sudden, you know, I had I got
right,
to tell
like,
the story
write me,
and that, and it was like a lightning bolt and it just came out of nowhere. And, And then I started back, and then the next thing I knew, I had interest in resuming all my writing again. So it can, you know, just hopefully that gives you some encouragement. But yeah, I do understand. I mean, I went to the same zone afterwards, and it was like, but then all of a sudden, that crazy blonde-haired sword-wielding warrior popped in my head and was like, Stephen, you got to tell my story. So,
in real life.
Well, and, you know, honestly, it's guideposts. And gosh, they're a Christian publisher, and I've done a lot of Christian fiction. I don't think this one will be like overtly spiritual, not like Deborah, not like, you know, the woman warrior that just came out in August, which is, you know, I mean, it's absolutely biblical. I think this will be, you know, lighter. It's a cozy mystery and all that, but it'll be clean. And I love that. I love that. You know, it'll be written from not a spiritual message per se, but a Christian worldview, a clean worldview. I tell you, one of the best emails I've ever received from a reader is saying, I am not afraid to turn the page when I read one of your books, because I know you're not going to present anything graphic or nasty. I love that. I love that. You know, it doesn't have to be. And actually, Holly, that's one of the sessions that I've proposed for the Imaginarium is, you know, we don't have to. I mean, you can write a really good story that has a message without beating people over the head with your message or including, you know, graphic nastiness, you know, and they can be good stories. They can be good stories. So,
there's a lot of people sensitive to that anyway. Even if they aren't Christian, even if they're secular, they're sensitive to those things because they've had trauma in their life. And they want to be able to turn the page and not have to worry about being in your face graphic, you know. And that's wonderful.
So anyways, if I had talked to you yesterday or the day before, I would have had kind of a gloomy attitude. But today I'm hopeful because I think
– fantastic.
And
on that note, I'm going
to
say –
it was a good day for me to chit-chat with you yesterday and today.
I threw some ideas. You did.
Good.
But without getting too deep into the spiritual side, as we should say, but I just want to say, just take it and think about it, but I don't think it was a coincidence that this ray of light came from Guidepost. I see something there. So there you go.
I do, too.
That's all I'm going to say.
That's all
I'm going to say.
Stephen, I really do, too. You're right.
That is awesome.
And you know me,
that makes
and
me happy.
You know I believe that,
it does
make me happy. It does.
That's good news.
I got to tell you, when I was in Ireland, the one thing that I got a little bit excited about is when we visited, it was the coolest thing. We went and saw a guy who trains sheep herder dogs. And we saw a demonstration. Yeah. It was funny because one of the dogs was really... Oh, it was awesome. But one of the dogs was really well-trained, and I have to say that's the dog whose name was Max, which is my dog's name. And he was perfect. And the other dog's name was Cooper, and Cooper couldn't do anything right. And this guy is trying to do a demo, and he's saying, Cooper, lift. And Cooper just literally drops down in the field, and then he yells, Cooper! We got back on the bus, and somebody said, that guy had such a deep accent, I didn't understand a word he said. And I said, oh, yeah, you did. You understood. Cooper! He was so funny. But anyway, on that guy's property was a famine house. And, you know, during the potato blight, during the famine, literally families would just desert their houses. They would close their doors and walk away from everything with their families because they had to find food. And that kind of stirred me. So, you know, you never know. You know, the Lord may do something with that story. I don't know. Maybe so.
Yep.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It plays out.
So cool. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about you as you progress on all this. So that's awesome. That's awesome. But let's see, Holly. Let's turn our attention to, let's see, we got so many things that we could talk to you about.
I could talk to you guys all night. This is just fun. Yeah.
Oh, I know.
Okay, let's do a fun thing. I don't think I've ever asked you this. Who was your earliest writing influence? When did you really get your passion to start reading? About what age?
I would say 4, and it was C.S. Lewis, and my mother read The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe to me.
Yep.
And, without getting overly emotional or spiritual, that was the first time I recognized the Christian faith and what Jesus did, because I identified with Edmund, and Aslan gave his life for a bad kid. And my mother read that to me and then took the time to explain it. And that had a profound influence on who I became, not only as a writer, but as a person, really. Yeah, that's amazing. It, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And then, of course, I've read all 7 of them about a gazillion times. I probably could quote them word by word to you, But yeah, that was the first one I remember.
No way. We have common ground, seriously, because my mom, she read me The Hobbit and The Fellowship and, The Ring and Two Towers and Turkey, Lord of the Rings trilogy. But then the second thing she got me was the box set of paperbacks of The Chronicles of Narnia. So back to back, it was like Tolkien and Lewis were absolutely my roots, the two of them together.
Okay.
And
I got to tell you, my mom and I are going to London. We're going to spend 2 weeks in England next year, and we are totally visiting the pub where Lewis and Tolkien
together.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No
oh, yeah.
way.
So yeah.
You better
you know,
do it. Have
really
a drink
funny.
For me.
You have to take pictures for Steve.
You know it. You know it. Yeah. Mom doesn't drink, but that's okay. I'll do it for both of us. But I got to tell you, I was raised on Narnia and, that kind of book, but I had never read Tolkien until I was, I think I was 18 and I was, I had a boyfriend and he took me over to, one of his friends' house and we started talking about science fiction and fantasy and he said something about Lord of the Rings and that way, and I didn't know what he was talking about, and I was embarrassed, so I didn't say anything, but I immediately went out and got the books and read them and devoured them. Oh, my gosh, that was like the beginning of my love of fantasy, epic fantasy. They're foundational. They're amazing. They're awesome.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is wild. I can't believe that you and I have never talked about that, but we have a very similar roots
so cool.
there. That
yeah.
is so cool.
Yeah, we really do. We do. Yeah.
That is
wow.
so cool.
And
well,
the only thing I can say.
Favorite... Go ahead.
What?
No,
that's right.
Who are some of your favorite influences now that are, in writing?
Oh, that's a good one. Yeah.
Oh, that's a really good one. Of course, in the past 3 months, past 6 months or so, I haven't read much
of
anything.
Well, we could count the past, 5 years.
Okay, so I can tell you that you guys know this. I'm not sure if the listening audience knows this, but this year I was one of the 5 judges for the World Fantasy Awards. So, which was huge. It was huge, and the submissions. We're basically the World Fantasy Award this year will be awarded not this Sunday, but next Sunday in Kansas City. And there were 5 of us judges and we had over 800 submissions starting in February and ending June 1st. It was insane and crazy. And my husband is getting sicker and sicker. All this goes along and I'm trying to read 800 flipping books. It was a crazy, wonderful time. But I got to tell you, I absolutely am in love with C.S.E. Cooney and her books. Her most recent one is Saint Death's Daughter, and that's a finalist for the World Fantasy Award. There's a lady named, and I'm going to butcher her name, R.A. Quang, I think it is. She wrote a book called Babel, B-A-B-E-L. She's British. And this book is an alternate history set in Oxford, at Oxford University. I'm telling you, it's brilliant. It is brilliant. I love it. Alex Jennings has some fab. He really is a great writer, and he's got a book. The title escapes me. I'm sorry, Alex. I'm so sorry. But honestly, there were some fabulous books that I read and it was turning me on to writers of fantasy that some of them I know personally, but I've not read their books, and some of them I'd never heard of before. And oh my gosh, you guys, there are some fabulous, fabulous writers out there.
Yes, there are.
Amazing. Yeah. So, and that was, that was quite an experience, let me tell you. And the really, you know, we 800 and something submissions, and they're in multiple categories. Of course, you know, there's the, we had what our job was, the five judges' job was to take these 800 something submissions in multiple categories and filter them down. We had to select five finalists and one winner. And so, you know, at first we're like, okay, how do we even go about? This is just overwhelming. Yeah. So we decided, okay, well, okay. And you and I, we know you can start reading a book and you know within the first page or so whether or not it's award material, you know? Award material. You know that.
Right.
Sometimes you have to read further. Sometimes you have to read all the way to the end and see how, you know, the author closes everything up before you decide that it's award material. So what we decided to do is, you know, we logged every single book and novella and story and everything that came in as a submission, and at least two judges had to read it. They didn't have to read it all the way. If they read a page and said, nope, this is not award material, We created a spreadsheet and we recorded that. And if two judges agreed, then nobody else had to read it. If two judges agreed, or if they disagreed, then we needed a third judge. And whenever two agreed that it was, you know, acceptable, then other people had to read it. And we got all the way down to the very end where we finally just said, okay, everybody come up with their top five in each category, and we gave ourselves 2 weeks, and we all read everyone's top five, all the five judges' top five in each category, and then we got on a big, long Zoom call, and we ranked them, and we picked the finalists, and the funny thing it was really, the winners in each category were a landslide. There was no controversy whatsoever. We all picked the winners. So,
nice. It's good when that works out.
it was great that it worked out. But I'm telling you, when I agreed to do that, I had no idea what I was getting into, because it was daunting. It's a lot of books. And here's some books, you know, 800 is probably a low number, because some authors or some publishers would send an anthology that had 12 books in it and say, each of these books should be considered in the short story category. Okay, so I got to read all 12 of them, you know? I mean, really, it was daunting.
But
I gotta say, I would do it again in a minute. Opened my eyes to the absolute, this plethora of fantasy fiction. And one thing I will say that surprised me and the other judges, we talked about it, is that in, of course, all of the books for this year's World Fantasy had to have a 2022 publication date. The number of horror books blew my mind. All of us agreed. We had no idea. Horror was huge in 22. And you know, when you think about it, I think, okay, so we all know how publishing works. The books that were published, released in 2022, were probably contracted in 2020 and what was going on then.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yep.
Really.
Yep.
So, but it was pretty amazing to see the number of horror books as opposed to epic fantasy or, you know, modern fantasy and everything. I mean, really, it was overwhelming. It really was. But it makes sense when you think about it.
Yeah, it does not surprise me, though. I have seen a bit of a boom in a lot of horror writing lately, just in observing the author communities out there. Yeah, it seems to be like it's a good like, you know, some things come back in ebb and flow in popularity, and I think this is one of those times when you're seeing a flow of horror again. You know, it'd be interesting to see.
You know, horror is not my favorite genre, but you know, when you're acting as a judge for such a prestigious award, you have to put aside your own tastes and likes and dislikes and really look at the writing, really look at the story and the plot and the, is this, even if I don't really like the details, is this capturing my attention? Is it keeping my attention through the whole story? Is the plot moving forward with every, do I keep wanting to turn pages, even though I'm kind of afraid what I'm going to see? But yeah, I mean, really, honestly, there's some fabulous horror writers out there that are writing really, really good stuff these days. There really are.
Oh, yeah. And like I always say, you can learn from every genre. And, you know, one of the writers that was influenced on me as far as for, you know, just sheer kind of like cinematic kind of visual kind of writing was Clive Barker, for instance. And I learned a lot just from reading his work. A lot of people would be, you know, it's not for everybody, because some of it's pretty intense and visceral.
Right.
But I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, his skill, though, I mean, there's things you can learn.
Yeah,
for sure. And
and
sprinkling in little elements of that into other types of stories makes them better, you know. And so, yeah, you can learn
from every genre. It really does, yeah.
Well, it is good. It is good to step outside your genre, because then you can, you know, test yourself. It's always good to write outside your normal genre. It's good to read outside your normal genre, because you'll find things that are like, wow, I didn't realize I was going to enjoy this like I did.
Right.
But wow, you know, I've done that with several things in the past, especially with indie writers. You know, I'll be like, oh, that sounds really interesting. They pitch me their book, and I'm like, yeah, I'll try it. I'll read it, you know. And then I find out, well, it's not my usual, but Kathy Jackson, I do not read romance. It's just not my cup of tea, right? But, oh, my gosh, she's got me stuck in this one series of hers. And I'm like, no, I want to know what goes on. Now I got to read the next book. I said, Kathy, you got me stuck now, you know, because I got to know now what's going on. And it's not my thing, but I really enjoy it. I'm enjoying her books, you know. So, yeah, you just never know till you step outside your comfort zone. You know, try something new once in a while.
And you know what, that kind of goes back to, I sent you, Holly, a workshop proposal about writing religious fiction. The point is, good fiction has the same foundational elements. You have plot movement, you have characterization, you have this. Whether no matter what the genre is, you know, and religious fiction, of course, you know, it has an added element of, you know, maybe a spiritual element or whatever, but the point of fiction is to entertain. The point of fiction is not to preach a sermon. If you want to preach a sermon, you better write nonfiction. You know, the point of fiction is to entertain, and the same elements of plot and characterization and setting, they apply to every single genre. And if a story captures your interest, yeah, it doesn't matter what genre it is. If the author is skilled at presenting a really compelling story, I'm going to read it, you know?
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to try something different. You know, once in a while.
Yeah.
And it opens your mind. It opens your mind to new ideas. And
it does.
Stuff.
Yeah.
You never know. Yep.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And maybe it's not your cup of tea, but, you know, it never hurts to try, right?
Right. I got to say, there were some books I read that were submitted that were not my cup of tea. And yet, I'm thinking of one that I'm not going to name, but it was not something that appeals to me. But I really admired the writing. I really admired the story. I didn't like the way the story unfolded, but I loved the writing. It was amazing. It really was, and I was impressed. I was really impressed. And I think we need to, if we're going to be judges of a worldwide award, we got to be open to that. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So.
True.
Well, this is cool. This is a cool discussion. But
you guys are fun to talk to.
Well, thank you. You are too. But I just want to check here. We got about a little over three minutes left, so I wanted to make sure that we have time.
I got somebody. I got somebody real quick who wants to say hello. She just got in from work.
Hi, everybody.
That's Rebecca.
It's
Beck. Do you remember the Pelican's mom? You know, my oldest friend.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi.
There she is.
Hello. Good to hear from you.
There she is. Yeah, she didn't disappear,
she's
folks.
Been working hard.
She's been working hard, but there she is. But but yes, Jenny, I want to give you a chance to give any kind of links for anything from your current books that have been the current book has been released to yourself and your author, links or website, and then also if you want to go again and give some info on Kentucky Visions again.
Oh yeah, well okay, so you can find me at virginiasmith.org. Fantasy I write under Jenny Patrick, but my books are at virginiasmith.org, so you can find, you know, all those links. And bluegrasswriterscoalition.com is where you can find about the conference that Stephen and Holly and I talked about that will be April 27th of next year. And also, more importantly and more urgently, the Kentucky Visions short story contest. So bluegrasswriterscoalition.com. And I really do encourage you to check it out. This is going to be a great contest and a great conference next year.
Yes. And give us a title again of your new novel from the newest release, the new story.
It is called The Warrior Woman, Deborah's Story. And it's about the prophet Deborah, as described, the only female prophet as described in the book of Judges in the Bible.
Nice.
Neat.
Yeah, that's one I definitely recommend to people to go out and check out, because I know that Jenny does her homework, and with her great storytelling ability, what a perfect fusion for a tale like that, especially with a historical figure. That's awesome. That's on my list of what
thank
I'm going to try to read by the end of the year, by the way. So I'm going to
awesome.
Be able to
thank
at least
you.
give you my thoughts, and I'm absolutely confident they're going to be good. So,
hey,
but I'm
hey, I'll give you
that.
A signed copy. I will. I'll give you a signed copy, Stephen, if you'll say you'll read it.
Well, I'm going to read it, but I'm going to buy it too, because I want to always support you. But definitely, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's such a blast. Anytime with you is a blast.
It is so much fun. I love talking to you guys. Thank you so much for having me as a guest.
We love
I'm
you
always,
too.
I'm always,
all right.
It's like I've got a second win now. I'm going to be just doing stuff all night now. I'm excited now.
Oh,
thank
my
you,
God.
Jenny.
Well, Max has gone to sleep by my side. Yeah. So, you know.
Oh, Max is so sweet. Yeah, Victoria and Albert are probably lounging over here. They're lounging somewhere around here, but
Yeah, they're right somewhere. All right.
But go ahead, Holly. You can wrap us up. Thank you, Jenny.
Wrap us up. Thank you, Jenny. As always, we love you, and we can't wait to sit down and have a coochie board with you. And I'm gonna have to whip you up some. But join us next Wednesday evening, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Another great show. Another great guest, learn something. And the rest of the week, be creative. Have a great night, everyone.
Love it. Good night, guys.
Night.